أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact Corporate Underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
What the technology winded up doing, especially I'm talking about the technology winded up separating the generations. That's what they did. So why is this important? It's just important that Muslims understand the way that the technology worked and the way that the technology advanced from what was going on in the pioneer generation to what's going on in the social media generation. We call it the social media generation because the advancements that happened in the social media generation winded up attracting the children. The children are the future. Bismillah, man, and Ahim. Alhamdulillah. This show is about social media and the change in technology as it has moved forward from the pioneer generation, from radio to television to the computer to smartphones to the internet, and how that is basically affecting our life. Muslims are pretty concerned about this. The concern about it, Muslims who are looking to stabilize their life here in the American circumstance, because the whole idea of Muslim family, the idea of having a Muslim family, the idea of, just maintaining and being protectors and maintainers as far as the men are concerned, and even as far as the women, having to, go out to work jobs, or it may be that, you may have a job that you've been working for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and you're pretty established with that paycheck, but then you get that paycheck And then you have to, you know, make sure that, you know, the bills are paid. And a lot of times people are not even using the United States Postal Service to pay their bills now. You know, what they're doing is they're going online and paying their bills. And this was pointed out to me some time ago by someone who worked in the post office, and they said that they intentionally pay their bills by the post office. So that is a traditional way of paying bills. You get your bill and you put a stamp on it and put it in the mail and let the mail get it. But the faster way to get your bill paid these days, we're talking about rent, we're talking about Con Edison, or, you know, like your gas or your electricity. We're talking about your telephone bill. It's just to basically go online. Go from your telephone and pay your bill. Go to your computer and pay your bill. So this takes money away from the traditional ways in which bills are being paid, and this is why people say that, you know, like the post office is going down, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not really going to happen, because there's some people who really just trust the post office to get their thing done, especially, you know, with all these scammers out here, the good possibility that you could get scammed online. So a lot of people continue to pay their bill by so-called snail mail, which is just a name that they – a cute name that they put, but basically the post office actually delivers mail if it's in the same city. It's next-day delivery, and if it's across country, 3 days, it's 3 days out most of the time. That's what the situation is. But the media would basically have people to think that, you know, like, yo, the post office is this and that, and, you know, they're not doing well, and, you know, the mail is slow. I used to work for the post office, and I'm telling you, with all the machines and everything that they have, they can get the mail from New York to California in a day. I mean, it's just quick the way that it happens. And it's very organized. They've been doing this for a long time. So the post office, but the media has put it out there that, you know, the post office is not doing well. And again, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about social media. Where do you get your information from? Because there's a lot of information that's given in social media that's not necessarily true. And I'm giving you the post office as an example. And just to show you, you know, what they did was done during the last administration, that this last administration put a postmaster in charge of the post office with the intent of that postmaster looking to slow the mail down. That's what he was put there to do, and he started to cancel machines out. We're going to close down these various machines. That's what we're going to do. We're going to close down these machines. I see you, 401-258. Just give me a moment, and I'll be right with you. You know, we're going to close these machines down and slow the mail down. And they did it for the intent of having the ballots, you know, to slow down the ballots that were being mailed off by people. You know, they had this thing with the ballots that was one of the tricks that was being used. So they made the post office a traditional organization that's been working for over 100 years, and now all of a sudden, and let me tell you, when you work for the post office, you have to take an oath, and the oath is you have to take the oath that the FBI takes. That anyone who works for the federal government has to take an oath. They make you raise your right hand and say that oath. And if you do something wrong as far as the post office is concerned, it's a federal crime. It's a federal crime. So I'm saying all this to say that the post office has had these things in place for a long time. And I'm just using the post office as an example. But any federal organization, because they're not only coming after the post office, they're also coming after the Federal Bureau of Investigation, you know, and we're talking about the last administration did that. And this current administration, as far as Congress is concerned, you know, with the whole January 6th, they're coming after the FBI. And the other part is that they're coming after the IRS. They're coming after. I haven't received my IRS check yet that I mailed out last February. last April. They received it in April. I haven't received it yet because they want to cancel out the IRS. The IRS from doing their job so that the big wigs that are these big corporations, so that they don't have enough people to take care of, you know, looking at the finances, the tax returns of these people. And so, I mean, I'm sure you heard it, you know, the lies that were put on social media that are being promoted on social media, that they want to hire 877,000 IRS workers so that they could come with guns to your house and demand that you make money, that you pay taxes. I'm not making this up. This is what was said. But they use government, especially the negative government, uses social media in order to promote these lies. And they're promoting lies against the federal government in order so that they can have an advantage. So that's one of the things that's very important, that the traditional, and that's the point that I'm making, is that the traditional values of our organizations are being ostracized, are being looked at in a negative way. Because there are certain groups of people that want control. So they're up trying to give our traditional organizations and our traditional government offices a negative light so that they could promote the negative light on social media. And then what comes from that? A January 6th. That's what comes from that. This is 401-258. I'm going to take your call right now. Assalamu alaikum, 401-258. Your microphone is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. You know, some of that about the post office is very true. I used to work for the post office in Mount Vernon, New York, and I think it was 1983, 84, and in 1987, I worked on Main Street Post Office in Yonkers. Now, what's going on with the post office with me? Since I moved here to Rhode Island in 2002, the postal system, they tear into my mail. They take my money orders. They tear my money orders that my son sent me up, put it back in the envelope, tape it back up, and put it in a postal envelope, or they'll just tear it up and put it in my mailbox like that. They take things that I send to my son, tear open the box, especially if it has a Muslim name on it, because my son's got Muslim names, you know, or any Muslim that I send anything, they tear it open, take the contents out of it, and then send me the empty box, and I have all these postal things. I have it in there in postal envelopes, too. They take even my cards that Muslims send me or my sons, they tear it in here, put it back in the envelope, and put a piece of tape on, and they take my mail, give it to the office where I live for them to open it. And then they come to me and they say, oh, I didn't open it, but it has a tape on. So I said, how can you say you didn't open it? It's got tape on. Why do they give it my mail to you, the office, to open it, to look at? But anything Islamic literature, oh, my gosh. They tear it in all kinds of pieces and then send it back to me in plastic envelopes. And they hold, let me tell you what else they do. They hold money orders that my sister sends me from Brooklyn for months. And then after months, they'll send it to me when I can't even cash it. Muslim journals, too. You know, I just got some of my October and November's Muslim journals. They do that. They've been doing that to
okay,
me.
Okay, let me say this.
It never happened in no other state that I lived in. Never.
Well, it does. It does happen, sis. First of all, this is what I want everybody to know. that the post office has a responsibility to send each and every piece of mail to the address that it that someone mails it to. That's the responsibility of the post office. They have these machines, and when they put the mail through the machines, which is can be like 10,000 pieces of mail hour or whatever, the machines, what they do is they tear open they could tear open the envelope, but the post office still has the responsibility of getting that envelope, you know, to the customer. Now, sometimes what happens when the machine tears the envelope, what it winds up doing is the contents of the envelope comes out, but they can't, because the contents have been separated, and these machines are continuing to run. You know, the envelope gets away from the contents, but they still have the responsibility to take it, put it in the plastic bag, and send it, you know, to the person. It's not 100%, but, you know, most of the time, most of the mail gets to its place on time. As far as money orders are concerned, money orders never, if you get a money order from the post office, it's good forever. It's not, if somebody sends you a money order from, sister, I'm telling you, if you have a postal money order, it's good forever.
No, it won't. Not a postal money order.
Postal money order is good forever. Check it out.
A non-postal
money order is not good forever. But a postal money order is good forever. Okay,
right.
You got a money order from 1929. You can go to the post office and cash it today.
They keep my non-postal money.
Non-postal money orders. You know,
And send it to me like months and months after they hold it.
Well, I don't think they'll hold it. Listen, the post office can't afford to hold any mail every day. If there's a piece of mail on the floor, they take that mail off the floor and have to send it. You can't. I'm telling them, working in a postal facility, you cannot have a piece of mail on the floor because that mail has to be picked up and it has to go. It has to be put in the system. That's the way the post office operates.
Yes, I smell like a Brother Kareem. But
yes.
Listen. When that mail gets into those truck drivers, they don't know what the postal workers do with anybody's mail. Not let some cameras inside their truck or when they come inside my building can see them tear my mail up or take my mail to the drivers tear it up.
I can't speak on what's going on as far as your postal carrier. Well, I can't speak on what's going on as far as your postal carrier is concerned, but I will say that most postal carriers. You know that post office workers get paid good money, good salaries. And if you've been working for the post office for a number of years, why would you put your whole career in it by tearing up people's mail? Now, there are some people that do it because they got mental problems, you know. But most postal carriers do the responsible thing as far as their job is concerned. I have worked as a carrier assistant, all right, helping carriers to get their mail prepared to go out. And if the customer has a problem with a postal carrier, they can always come to the post office and make a complaint to supervisors about their mail. They can always do that.
They don't want that
because the thing is, it puts their money or and their career in jeopardy. If that,
but they didn't do anything.
Office,
that's exactly what I did. I went to the post office and put in a complaint, and they said, you have to have proof. You have to have proof.
Well, that's true. Shouldn't you have proof if you go to the post office with a complaint?
That's true, but listen, let me tell you something. I know what's going on here. I know what's going on. It's a hate thing, and they probably want me to get out the building too, because you don't know the horrible things they put. They put dead mice under my door, all kinds of garbage trash, like they did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I thought better. And then the landlord I tried to get care to help.
Prophet Muhammad,
there's broken glass for me to step in. Broken glass under my door for me to step in. If I had stepped in there, my feet could have got cut off. Yeah.
Use the example of Prophet Muhammad, sis. Use the example of Prophet Muhammad. I gotta go ahead, man, and
okay,
one thing I will say, as far as the Muslim Journal is concerned, that is a legitimate concern. You know why? Because this is what they do. The responsibility of the post office is to deliver first class mail first. Mail with a stamp on it gets first priority. Express mail gets first priority. Priority mail gets first priority. You know what Muslim journals, newspapers get? Third-class mail. They're third class. So it's like, look, I'll get it to you when I can get it to you. And most post offices, that's what the thing is, that they have to deliver the first-class mail, the express mail, the priority mail first. And then they go to second-class mail, which is mail that might be advertisements, all right? Advertisements, that have a stamp on it. Then that mail goes, and then after that mail goes, then they do magazines and stuff like that, which is third-class mail. So a lot of times that the magazines and because there's sometimes what happens with magazines, they will go to second-class status. They will go second-class status, so magazines will pay extra money in order to get their magazines done to the customers faster than third-class mail, okay? But Muslim Journal newspapers, it goes third-class. It goes third-class mail. And other newspapers, they go third-class, all right? So, and there's not even a fourth class. So a lot of times that what the sister said is true about the Muslim Journal newspaper, that's what winds up happening about that. But these are this is the post office is still a traditional organization, and people still go to their mailbox on a daily basis. Why? Looking for their mail, because people just like receiving mail. Let me see what I got today. I go to my mailbox and say, I hope there's some money in it. That's what I go to. I hope there's some money in the mailbox, but most of the time it's bills or advertisements and things like that that's usually in the mailbox. But my whole point is basically that the post office is a traditional service. And, there's a lot of negative stuff that's put on social media about the post office. But the post office, they deliver billions of pieces of mail a year. Billions of pieces of mail. And, we ain't concerned about that. I'm just concerned about my mail. And that's basically where we go with it. I'm just concerned about my mail. And then sometimes, when the sister was speaking, she got, things a little mixed up when she was talking about money orders. Postal money orders, that money orders that come from, I don't even know some of these places, but they have a certain amount of time that you can actually cash their money orders. Western Union, well, there's one. You got a certain amount of time that you can cash a Western Union money order. And then some of these other ones that have money orders, they give it to you at a cheap price. They'll give it to you at a cheap price, but you better cash that money order in a certain amount of time or you're not going to be able to cash it. But if you get a postal money order, it's good forever, forever and ever. People, you know, do their savings. People, I've seen it. People come in and get a $500 money order and then put it away. Every month they come and they get a $500 money order and just, you know, put it away. $500 money order and put it away. And if you have the top part and somebody steals your money order, you got to have the top part, and the postal money order hasn't been cashed, you can fill out that top part of the money order and put in a claim that, you know, like you need your money order. And if the post office sees that the money order hasn't been cashed, they will reissue you another money order. They will reissue you another money order because, you know, like they can check to see if the money order has been cashed or whether it's not been cashed. I'm only talking about postal money orders. I'm not talking about Western Union or some of these other money orders that people go and get. Money orders from Walmart and all those places, they give you these $99 money order, 99 cent fee or 59 cent fee. If you buy my money order, all you have to pay is 59 cent, you know, for the money order. But their money order is only good for a certain amount of time. I think you have to pay something like $1.25, $1.75 for a postal money order. And, you know, you pay that $1.75, but, you know, like, you know, the money order is good forever. It's just good like that. And if somebody steals and you have the top part and, you know, nobody cashes it, you know, you got, because on one side you have your name and on the other side you have the name of the person that it's supposed to go to, those are the only two people that's supposed to be able to cash that money order. There's no third person that's supposed to be able to cash it. And if you take it to a post office is going to ask you for the ID and make sure that the ID matches the name of the person that's on the money order for them to cash it. Banks. I didn't mean to get into this whole thing about money orders, but I'm just saying this here. The whole point is that the post office is a traditional organization that people trust. Right now, and this here is from February 3rd, 2023. The House Judiciary Committee. The Congress subpoenas Attorney General, FBI Chief, and Educational Secretary. Committee Chairman Jim Jordan requests documents on the Biden administration's targeting of parents for exercising their First Amendment rights at school board meetings. So they have lambasted the FBI because the school board, I'm sure you heard about this, because the school board in a certain district, you know, called the Department of Education and complained that there were people that were actually coming to their school board meetings and threatening to do physical harm. These are parents who may have disagreements as far as what the school board was doing. And it's okay to have a disagreement and to argue with the local school board about what's going on in their meetings. But then when you start to threaten somebody's life, oh, now it's time to listen. Then you've gone overboard. And so the Department of Education sent information to the FBI, and the FBI then went to the person, goes to the person and says, look, we need to, or the school board, and says, you know, we're not going to tolerate that. You know, give us the name, and we'll go and address this as an issue. And so they're saying that this committee, House Judiciary Subpoenas Attorney General, is questioning the FBI and the Education Secretary regarding that. You know, saying that parents are exercising their First Amendment rights. I'm telling you, this thing as far as First Amendment rights is going north. It really is, and I'm telling you, it's going north because here it is. You can have a camera now. This is it. And we're talking about the upload life. You can have a camera and you can stand outside. You can go in you can go in a post office, inside the post office, and videotape. And then when you get questioned by the post and ask, why are you videotaping inside the post office? Well, I got a First Amendment right to do that. You know, this is news. I'm going to upload this. I'm exercising my First Amendment right. This is where the First Amendment social media has gone. Everybody's a newscaster now. I got a right, you know, to freedom of speech, you know, to do this here. 914-434, assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Well, alaikum assalam. Brother William, this is Muhammad Sharif calling out here in New York.
Well, alaikum assalam. Good to hear from you, brother. What's going on?
Oh, this is an interesting conversation this morning in reference to the post office.
Yes,
is,
sir.
Is this being recorded? It's on at archives?
Yes.
Okay, now where do we go for archives? EM360?
Yeah.
Okay, you, good. All right.
You know, Muhammad Sharif, you've gone to the archives before, right?
Oh, yes, I've gone there before. EM360.org,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be under Living the Upload Life.
It's going to be where?
Living the Upload Life.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay,
yes,
this is
Brother something. I suggest everyone going back and hear this, who haven't heard this broadcast this morning that y'all on now about the post office. Because we want to know why our papers come in so late and all this. You're telling us about subscriptions and post office and third class and first class. I mean,
yeah.
This will give a good understanding of why our papers are coming late, you know. But I think this is something we should bring up because it's not good because you pay money as a subscriber. And that shouldn't be no third class. That should be first class. First class you're paying as a subscriber.
Yeah, but what Muhammad, what happens is the Muslim Journal has decided not to pay first class rates in order to get the paper to their customers. They have decided that they want to pay third class rate in order to get the paper to the customer, which is the cheapest rate. And it's not only Muslim Journal; it's a whole lot of newspapers that come through the post office that don't want to pay first class or second class prices, so they pay, you know, the cheapest in order to get the paper to the customer. So they pay third class rate. They call it book rate. You know, book rate is like the cheap. Like if you mail in books, and especially books, you know, because books are heavy. So the post office gives a discount for books being mailed because they're heavy. But they need to get it to the customer, so they have a book rate, and they have a paper rate, which is third class mail.
Well, now I can understand why people are concerned and don't subscribe to. I'm concerned they should not subscribe to the paper, but I think that should be some discussion. The post office should do something about this, or we should complain about this. Because otherwise, you can see now why people don't want to subscribe. Why should I subscribe and you put me in third class?
Muhammad, the thing is that the Muslim Journal could send their papers first class mail, but, you know, they would have to probably go up on the price of the Muslim Journal in order to get it to the customer quicker. They would have to go up on the price. And you know, what the Muslim Journal is doing is basically, you know, they're trying to get the paper to the customer, but at the cheapest price. So the complaint is not with the post office. The complaint is with the Muslim Journals, you know, in the way that they want to mail it. You know, people who mail things like Vogue magazine, Harper's magazine, they don't go third class. They go second class. They go second class mail, which is, you know, just under. Because, you know, like these, that's not book rate. That's second-class mail. So, you know, first-class mail goes out quick, and then the thing is that second-class mail goes out after that. But they pay extra money for a second-class mailing situation. You know, they pay extra money for that. I'm talking about Vogue or Harper's or Bazaar, you know, fashion, these high-class magazines. They pay the extra money in order to get their product to the customer quicker.
There should be some type of discussion concerning the Muslim Journal and that decision, those that making that decision. because you know a lot of programs are over by the time you get the paper. You get the paper and the program is already over. You may want to send that program, you know?
Yes. Yes, good point. Good point.
Thank you for taking my call, Brother
Williams.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. Anytime, Brother Muhammad, anytime, man, call in, okay?
Okay, thank you. All right.
All right, bro. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, alaykum as-salam.
Okay, that's Muhammad Sharif. That's my brother, Muhammad Sharif. I know him personally, you know, like we have soldiered together, man, and I know that, you know, he has made an extreme contributions, man, as far as our community is concerned. He's really been, you know, a soldier. I've been doing this for 50 years, and as long as I've been in, I've known Muhammad Sharif, and he's been doing it, you know, for years, and Allah has blessed him, you know, to continue to participate. So may Allah continue to bless our brother Muhammad Sharif. What I'm doing is I'm looking at, I didn't know your mom's microphone was over, bro. All right. As-salamu alaykum. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the AARP magazine, and I'm looking to see. Now, look, this is the AARP magazine. And the magazine is $4.50. But they don't pay. This is not a third class magazine. This is second class. They send this out to second class now. They send this out second class now. You know, so that's why you get this in a more timely fashion than you would get, you know, like your newspapers, because they pay extra money. They pay extra money so it can get to the customer in a more timely fashion. This is, and I'm looking at the December to January, so I should be receiving a new magazine, you know, for February, March. Anyway, the thing is that we have to, we're talking about the traditional organization of the post office. We're talking about the traditional organization as far as the FBI. We're talking about the traditional organization of the IRS and, you know, the whole idea about the IRS. American Bar Association wrote, no, those 87,000 new IRS agents are not about to break down your door. We have all recently heard about the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, is hiring 87,000 new agents and have seen the various reactions to this news. Now, this is on social media, right? They put out, as tax attorneys, we have received more than our fair share of icebreaker comments on what this means for us and how busy we will be. What this doesn't mean is that 87,000 IRS agents are going to come break down your door and force you to allocate for all of your Venmo accounts on the spot. And we're talking about a Venmo account is like a Cash App account. A Venmo account is one of those kinds of accounts. You know, because what the technology has done, the technology has, you know, created all these different ways that people that are participating in social media can get money by creating money accounts. Cash App is a money account. Venmo is an account. Zelle is a money account. What is that? Then they have they just have a whole lot of different ones. And so they're saying that, you know, the IRS and what the IRS is trying to do is trying to put something in place that will make it whereas people who are receiving money have to account for the money that they're receiving, you know. And so it's been promoted, you know, they 87,000 IRS agents are going to come break down your door and force you to allocate for all of your Venmo accounts on the spot. Ordinary taxpayers have no idea what actually goes into hiring a single IRS agent, let alone 87,000 agents over multiple years to try to reduce the labor backlog. Most people think that hiring 87,000 IRS agents is a large amount and that they will be pumping our business and individual audits at an unprecedented speed. What most people do not understand is that this 87,000 has to be spread across hundreds of IRS departments, meaning 87,000 is a small number for a federal agency that has been severely understaffed for years. So I'm not going to say that again. So this is a federal organization that has been severely understaffed for years. So even with technology, the thing is that when you do an audit, when you audit people, and especially people who are making millions of dollars, when you audit these people, you have to actually physically go through their tax returns. You have to physically go through them. But these administrations that have come before us, they don't want to have more IRS agents because then, you know, this 87,000 that they're talking about is going to be able to go through these tax returns. And in going through the tax returns, each one individually, then they're going to be able to see the game that's being run by a lot of these businesses that are not paying their taxes. You know, this is not something I'm telling you, but the media, what Congress has done is they, you know, has put out the thing that, you know, 87,000 IRS agents is coming to, you know, they're being hired, so they're going to come break down your door and force you to allocate all your accounts on the spot. Have you heard it? I heard Congress people say it. I heard Congress people say it because they're working to give our traditional organizations a bad name. That's what they're doing. Well, listen here, you know what? I got like 13 minutes left in the program, which is really something. But, you know, like, this is where we are today. This is where social media is going. You know, social media gives these Congress people, it gives them a platform. Whereas, you know, like they have followers who follow them, and then they can say whatever they want to say. And, you know, whatever it is that they say, then the people that follow them then wind up believing that. Do you know that there are people today who still believe that Donald Trump is still president of the United States? There are people that believe that Donald Trump is still the president of the United States. And, you know, like you say, I don't know whether you're on social media or not, but I watch social media, and this guy named Jordan Klepper, and he goes around to these Trump rallies, and he asks him the questions. Well, who's the president of the United States? Well, Donald Trump is the president. Oh, Donald Trump is the president? Yeah, Donald Trump is the president. Oh, so Donald Trump is the one that sent tanks to Ukraine? No, Donald Trump didn't send the tanks to Ukraine. Well, who sent them? Well, you know, there's two presidents. Oh, so Joe Biden's not the president? Well, you know, like he was put in. This is what people are saying. Yo, he was just put in. Oh, so there's two presidents? Yeah, you know, like, well, you know, there's two presidents. So, you know, like, who's running the military? Well, Donald Trump. You know, like, yo, they you know, like, you know, it's a secret. You know, kind of. This is what people are saying. This is what people believe. You know why? Because social media has gotten these people to believe that this is what the situation is. And I know many of you say, oh, that's not true. Oh, that's not true. Believe me, brothers and sisters, it's true. So you know, in this little bit of time that I got left, what do we do as far as Muslims are concerned? What do we do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. What we have to do is we have to live our Muslim life. And what is Muslim life? Muslim life has already been established for us. Muslim life is to always realize, don't get distracted. There is no God but the one God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who makes the sun come up every single day, that the day goes into the night and the night goes into the day. That Lord is still in control. the one that has allowed us to be in the season of winter right now. And you know what we know for sure? We know for sure that the spring is coming. We know that right now we're in the month of Rajab, and that 2 months from now is going to be the month of Ramadan. The one who controls the month, the one who's still in control when you do your Fajr prayer, that you make your Fajr prayer just before the sun comes up, the one that is in control of that sun, the one that is in control of the Dhuhr prayer that you make at a certain time of the day, that Lord is still in control. The one for Asr, for Maghrib, that you don't see no change when Maghrib comes about. You see that, you know, like the sun is getting ready to go down. Why? Because the Lord that we believe in is still in control. So, you know, the idea is to stay in our Muslim life, in our traditional life, in our life that has been since the time of Adam up until now, from Adam to Muhammad. And tomorrow we're going to be doing, well, this gives me an opportunity to tell you that tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be doing a show called The Life of the Prophets from Adam to Muhammad. And, you know, we finished with Adam, and the next prophet we're going to is Idris, also known as Enoch. And boy, you don't want to miss this. Oh, my gosh, man. If you don't know anything about Idris and Enoch, oh, boy, you're going to really get something out of this. So I encourage you to tune in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for The Lives of the Prophets right here on American Muslim 360, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, so you know what I got to do? I have to go ahead and play a PSA, and I'm going to play this on Graceline Credit Union. All right, here we go.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
There you go. That's right. We can remake the world, and that's what our intention is. You know, American Muslim 360, IWDM Radio, Muslim Journal, A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio. We are media, Muslim media. Our goal and objective is 24-hour Muslim media. That's what our goal and objective is. We don't have that right now, but that's what we're working towards, because that's what we need, 24-hour Muslim media. Because the Muslim Journal put out a beautiful ad, and the beautiful ad, it said, the other perspective. The other perspective. Because there's a perspective that social media is pushing. There's a perspective, you know, a way of looking at things that the culture is pushing people towards. But the perspective that we have is that of the Muslim perspective. And we want people to see the Muslim perspective, the way that we think about it, the way we think about traditional values. Our responsibility is to stick to traditional values, because people will go ahead and fly their kite out there, and they won't have, I mean, you know, they just go right along with the culture. Just go along your kite. Just go right along with the culture. You know, just go right along with technology. Just go right along with it. Just go along with it. And because they don't have an anchor, because their line, their kite, doesn't have an anchor, it'll just float right out there into space and just get lost because they don't have an anchor. Brothers and sisters, we are that anchor. We are the anchor to make sure that people can always get back. Our responsibility is to live the life of a Muslim. Live the life. Let us live the life, propagate and spread it. Allahu Akbar, we follow the Mujahid, the one who revives and renews. The religions of the world have been abused. Help all good people, though they give you no credit. Allahu Akbar, we follow a Mujahid who can talk to the woman, talk to the man. He talks so plain a child could understand. He talk all day or just for a minute. We listen because we know that there's a jewel wrapped in it. And we call the Mujahid, you know, and Muhammad didn't like that. No, don't call me the Mujahid. He didn't like it because other people was jealous of it. Oh, who is he to call himself the Mujahid? Who is he to call himself? He can't. So Imam Muhammad said, look, don't call me no Mujahid. Don't call me that. because it just, like other people got upset about it. You know, that's our leader, but they're getting upset about, you ain't got the right to be called no Mujahid. But he did revive the religion of Al-Islam in America. Because we was following the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad. The black man is God and the white man is the devil. That's what we were saying. Imam Muhammad came and put us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the straight path, and got us reading the Quran. And that's where we are today, and that's where we should stay. That's, I didn't know that rhyme. That's where we are today, and that's where we should stay. Following the Quran. Five times a day, make the world stop and bring to the bottom what's on top. Make that prayer, read that Quran, and live the life, the organic life, where you eat right. You know, treat your children right, treat your wife right, okay? We got 3 minutes left in the program. We got a call that's come in. And it's 3 minutes from 810-399. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'd like to ask to you, Brother Kareem, and to the AM360 family. This is Dapreetha Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan. I'm going to be very quick. I just wanted to say to you again, we just appreciate you, kindness. We appreciate you for bringing this type of information to you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Sister Dapreetha Hadi, with your bad self.
Yes.
Say it loud. That's right, man. Another sister who's been involved in the community for a long time, man. You're a long time sister. That's right. We got it like that. We got it like that. We got pioneers who have been holding the line. That's right, of Al-Islam. And that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. We have to continue to hold the line. So, an hour is not enough time for me, you know, to really be on, but, you know, that's what they gave me, so that's what I got to do. I just got to do your hour, so. But I do appreciate this hour. I do appreciate being with you. I hope that there was nothing wrong that I said that may have offended anybody. I appreciate our calls from our listeners. It gave us, because your participation in the call helps out a whole lot. Don't think that it doesn't. It helps out a whole lot, you know. And if there is some complications that you might be having as far as circumstances and situations, that's right. Call in and open your microphone and talk about it, you know, because maybe there's some kind of way. There's somebody on the line that could give some clarity about what's going on and what may have happened, you know, might be going on. This is a line of communication that we have, and we want to make this a 24-hour communication that we're working on. Inshallah, Allah will bless us to get there. And until then, next time, I'm going to give you the greetings. May Allah continue to bless us. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Muslim Action Hour.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and Deputy Director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the Deputy Director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.